Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
While Kamala launched her whole candidacy on RuPaul's Drag Race last week, and she was just speaking normally. Then she goes to Atlanta and she has to get down with the Southern twang. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They do that. Hillary Clinton did that too. I ain't trying to be tired. I ain't no tired or whatever she said. Yeah. It's nauseating to hear.
It's Obama, disingenuous.
Obama did it too.
Yeah.
Obama, but that was Obama's act. Obama started with the staccato.
Yep.
And then now, of course, the dollar store Obama, everybody knows as Hakeem Jeffries. Does the same thing. Hakeem Jeffries moves his hands more than I do, but I'm Italian.
Yeah.
He's not Italian.
He's the Bobo Obama.
Hakeem Jeffries talks and moves his hands in cadence with the way he talks. And now Josh Shapiro is doing that as well. And you're right. Obama started that. And then Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah.
And now, of course, Josh Shapiro.
Yep.
All using the same. But they do it in, it's like three or four word groups, and they put them together with hand gestures.
By the way, Mr. Bruno, one of our great listeners, Fulton Jack, texted me or emailed me and said "Nattering" was written by Pat Buchanan.
Yeah, but it was said by former Vice President Spiro Agnew.
Gotcha.
What a name.
Nolo Contendere to you and everybody else out there, and that's not a religious thing. Yes,
just passing it on, my friend.
You know,
no, I didn't say that Pat Buchanan didn't write it. I said Spiro Agnew made that line famous because Pat Buchanan didn't say it.
Yeah,
he wrote it.
Yeah,
and I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
Well, I mean, why
that was not Pat Buchanan.
We'll
that was
Jeff. Live.
It was Bill O'Reilly, and who else? Who's that screaming at? Is that
that's Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, we'll do it live.
When he was imitating
okay. I thought
Bill.
That was Zeoli doing it.
No. That's Tucker ripping off Bill O'Reilly as he was doing an impersonation, which sounded nothing like it because Tucker Carlson is like one of his own as far as the way he sounds.
By the way, back to Josh Shapiro for a second. He did, he's dropping curse words again. Like, what is it with these Democrats now that all of a sudden they're like, the gloves are off and...
Well, he's a Montgomery County gangster.
When you're white,
the S words flying.
When you're a white, wimpy looking, dorky, weird dude.
Weird.
Who was not one of the dudes for Kamala the other night, and that's still getting destroyed all over the nation and around the world and justifiably so.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But Josh Shapiro's trying to get down with the peeps.
That's what they, they think that they are so superior that they have to speak in what they deem to be less than, normal humans. They have to speak down to them so that those poor, pathetic people can possibly understand them.
Yeah.
Josh. I mean, the only white woman who could pull off the jive routine was in the movie Airplane. Barbara Billingsley, Mrs. Cleaver, goes up to the brothers in the thing and says, "Knock yourself a pro, Slick." "Hey, I ain't drinking no Jack." And I mean, that was one of the greatest scenes. Yeah. I hope that's not the mystery movie of the week, though, Airplane.
No, we haven't determined that movie yet. We'll get to that by 7:30.
One of the greatest movies ever, ever made.
Agreed.
Exactly right.
91 LSX are on the YouTube chat. Everybody jumping in the chat early. I like this. Doesn't
don't forget the like, though. Hit that up button.
Yeah, thank you.
Not up Chuck button. Get that like. It's the white... It turns black, though. It goes from white to black.
Yeah, it's
sort of like Josh Shapiro, whatever you need him to.
He says, doesn't Trump curse at rallies? Yeah, so that's my point, is that the Democrats always used to just, you know, take the high road. And remember, we're bringing the adults back in office, and now all of a sudden they're adopting that language.
Yeah, meanwhile,
well,
the Easter
honestly, there's nothing wrong
on the White House front lawn.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with a few well-placed curse
Oh,
words.
I agree. I wish we could do it here more often, but, you know,
yes.
We have to protect the license.
Yeah. Page one of the book.
Yeah.
I am licensed in your state, by the way.
The FCC really needs to get with the times, doesn't
they
it?
They do. Yeah. They do. This is the public airwaves. Yeah, it's the public airwaves, and everybody's heard these. We don't program this radio station to kids, although we do well with 18 to 34-year-olds.
Well, I mean, come on.
Of course.
Thank you very much. But, like, we don't program this to kids. Everybody who should be listening to this radio station is 18 and over.
Yeah.
And they've heard these words, all of them.
And when I go on my Easter Bunny rant next year, I don't want to hear anybody complain about it, all right? Kids shouldn't be listening anyway.
Exactly.
Be a better parent. But keep listening to us because we like that. All right, let's get to a Wednesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning, election integrity 4 years later. You know, it's like clockwork. Every time we enter an election season, whether it's a general election or it's the midterms, election integrity is sure to come up. And now more than ever, it has become of the utmost importance following what transpired in 2020, plus what is going on right now in Venezuela. This on the heels of reports that we shared on Monday's show that the expectation is that Pennsylvania and Wisconsin might take multiple days to collect, gather, process, and report the winner of two of the three most important battleground states. It is, in my opinion, completely unacceptable. We'll have theories, we'll have claims, accusations, and probably lawsuits will be inevitable, in part because our nation has lost faith and trust in government, and two, because it has become the trendy thing to say and do. The election, it was stolen. The election, it was rigged. Election denialism has been on the rise for over a decade, if not longer. And of course, it's a two-way street, but from a media coverage and media criticism perspective, only one side gets away with the claims. Stacey Abrams is a four-time election denier. Hillary Clinton has always made claims that Donald Trump is an illegitimate president, and all is well. Donald Trump or a Republican point out abnormalities, technical malfunctions, Maricopa County, and other shenanigans, and it's deemed to be dangerous rhetoric. But the Washington Post surveyed voters, and they are worried that cheating will affect the presidential election outcome. They write the following. Quote, despite the mainstream media's constant messaging that the 2020 election was the most safe and secure election in U.S. history, an overwhelming majority of national and swing state voters are worried that cheating will affect the outcome of the 2024 election. That, according to the Heartland Institute, a Chicago think tank. By the way, Donald Trump will be in Chicago. The organization has asked 2,466 likely voters nationwide if they feared cheating would affect the outcome of the 2024 election. Heartland Institute, quote, the most safe and secure election in U.S. history. You know, I remember the establishment telling me that the vaccine was 100% safe and effective. But honestly, it's not what you think. Relitigating 2020 is not going to help you win 2024, and it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And I know people don't like to hear this, but these are the facts. Regardless of what evidence you've seen on social media, what videos of shady stuff that's been posted, when Donald Trump filed lawsuit after lawsuit, he lost 61 of 62 court cases, some of which were before Trump-appointed judges, many deeming the cases without any merit. Now, the Washington Post continues with the recap of this poll by writing the following. A combined 62% expressed concern about election integrity, with 37% saying they are very concerned, 25% somewhat concerned, 20% not very concerned, and 15% not at all concerned, with 3% answering they were not sure. The Heartland Institute then posed the same question to over 5,600 likely voters in the battleground states like Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and the results almost identical. A combined 62% of those surveyed throughout the 2024 election could be affected by cheating. 38% very concerned, 24% somewhat concerned. The poll conducted between July 9th and July 12th. So are Republican voters prepared to do what it takes to ensure Donald Trump's odds of winning are at their absolute peak? Will the GOP embrace mail-in ballots? Will they utilize legal ballot harvesting? Because you can complain about the referees all you want, or you can fix your own mistakes so that you negate the referee's impact on game day. Little lame football analogy, but it's applicable here. Will you take off? Will you be a poll watcher and make sure that ballots and casting of votes is all on the up and up? If it means that much to you, and it should, you should listen to Linda Kearns, attorney, guest, listener, and caller of Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. She called in the Kale and Company yesterday and had this to say about the 2024 election. Listen and watch this.
So you can apply for a mail-in ballot now, but the mail-in ballots are not printed. The first day they can send them out will be 50 days prior to the election, which is September 16th,
right,
unless there's litigation that holds that off a little bit. So please, I don't want voters to be upset that the voting is happening. It is not in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's what
so
I thought it was.
I wanted everyone to have correct information, but I am telling you, it is a new Republican National Committee. Laura Trump and Chairman Watley are committed to integrity. I'm working night and day, except when I'm on the radio with you guys, to make sure that everything goes smoothly. So I just want to assure the listeners, no one's voting yet. You okay. can't even request them until September.
In Pennsylvania and nationwide, go to protectthevote.com. They are recruiting poll watchers as we speak and poll workers here locally in Pennsylvania. You can sign up today if you can take the day off, or if you have friends and family who want to protect election integrity, then do something about it. Don't cry about it on social media. That's the lazy, easy way out. If this is the most important election of your lifetime, and it feels like it is for me personally, then get involved. The Washington Post goes on to write more. The tools for election fraud are everywhere, and that's why people are rightfully worried that millions of illegal ballots might be cast in November. Most states have done little to nothing to fix their broken election laws, which is a recipe for conducting the most important election in our lifetimes that is also the least secure in the Western world. That is from Jim Lakely, Vice President and Director of Communications of the Heartland Institute, in a written statement shared inside the Beltway with the Washington Post. And speaking of election fraud, let's get to Tucker Carlson, who had Mike Cernovich on his show recently. Cernovich has been a Trump supporter, and then he ditched Trump, saying he has no shot in 2024. And Cernovich has said a lot of outlandish things, make no mistake about it. But like a lot of provocateurs that are social media influencers, so to speak, they do get some things correct. I want you to listen to what he said to Tucker about the upcoming election and voter integrity. Listen and watch this clip.
What's going to happen in this election?
Nobody can know, because the Democrats have all these tricks up their sleeves that people aren't prepared for. That, for example, that what they're doing now with motor voter registration is they're registering illegal immigrants who come into the country, and they'll just harvest those ballots, right? It's real easy to do. We have 10 or 11 million people in it over the past couple of years on the Biden administration. You register them all to vote. It doesn't matter, because they're not going to vote, so there's no voter prosecution, and there won't be any record of voter fraud by them. But you have all these names now. In a swing state, remember, elections decided not by the popular vote. It's decided by 50 to 100,000 votes in 3 to 4 states, right? So all you do is you need 8,000 votes in Georgia, push them through, right? 20,000 votes in Arizona. You have all these extra names now added to the voter rolls, push them through, right? Wisconsin has those drop boxes back, push them through. And you don't need to do another scale of millions. You just need to do it strategically, and 10,000 here, 20,000 here. So that is why we don't know what's going to happen in November. There's no way to know.
That stands out to me because he mentioned motor voter registration, which is happening right here in Pennsylvania under Josh Shapiro. That's the main reason I played that clip for you. Plus, he mentions the Wisconsin drop boxes being back. We covered that story for you a few weeks ago in one of Dawn's Big Threes. And as always, the big take comes full circle. We just mentioned at the beginning of the big take that Pennsylvania and Wisconsin could take days to tabulate. And let's go back to February 21st of this year. Laura Trump, now in charge of the RNC, making her case to Trump supporters to take advantage of what the system currently is until it can be rectified. Listen and watch this.
If I am elected co-chair of the RNC, we are going to have out of control, like we've never seen in America, voter registration, legal ballot harvesting all over this country, a ground game like we have never seen before, election day operations, poll watchers in every polling location across this country. And we're not just going to poll watch. We have already seen that the RNC has started it, and we will continue doing this. Trained poll watchers. These are people who go in and actually physically handle the ballots. You can count every ballot coming in, so you know how many ballots go out. We are going to have to play this game so much better than the Democrats that we leave nothing to chance come November 5th. And I'll tell you something else we have to start doing. Early voting. I know we love one election day. We love paper ballots. We'd love everybody to have voter ID because that makes sense, doesn't it, in the United States? We may get back there one day, but we are not there today. And so because of that, we are going to have to start banking our votes. And we do that with turning out to.
So are you prepared to be the next Scott Pressler, if need be, for a day? The RNC and Laura Trump are seeking 100,000 poll watchers nationwide, which brings us to the most insane part of this big take, Venezuela. Have you been paying attention to what has transpired over there? AP News headline, Venezuelan opposition says it has proof its candidate defeated President Maduro in a disputed election. As thousands of people demonstrate across Venezuela, opposition candidate Edmundo Gonzalez announced just on Monday that his campaign has the proof it needs to show that he won the country's disputed election in which electoral authorities named the incumbent Maduro the victor. Gonzalez and his opposition leader Maria Corina Machado told reporters they obtained more than 70% of tally sheets from Sunday's election. And they show Gonzalez with more than double Maduro's votes. Both called on people, some of whom protested in the hours after Maduro was declared winner, to remain calm and invited them to gather peacefully Tuesday at 11 a.m. But since then, there have been protesters overtaking their airport after Maduro, a communist, allegedly stole the election. Rioters have torn down the Cuban flag in a sign of protest. Thousands upon thousands taking to the streets. Posters and billboards of Maduro being ripped to pieces. If you've seen the footage, it's absolutely wild. And Axios is writing about it as well with the headline, Venezuelans' sham election collides with U.S. campaign. They go on to write, protesters erupted across Venezuela after Maduro was declared the victor by election authorities loyal to his regime, despite polls showing the opposition was far ahead. And it's had an impact here in America. Secretary of State Antony Blinken expressed, quote, serious concerns about the fairness of the vote, while leaders across Latin America and the rest of the world refusing to recognize Maduro's victory. The unrest is already sparking calls for action from the Biden administration, which had previously dangled relief from oil sanctions in exchange for progress toward a free election. Even after the tainted vote, the Biden administration, according to Axios, likely to take a more restrained approach than the Trump administration did after Maduro's last sham victory in 2018. Trump backed an attempt to topple Maduro and imposed harsh sanctions after it failed. If the post-election unrest grows, and in particular, if more refugees arrive in the U.S., Venezuela could be one of the most consequential foreign policy issues of the 2024 election campaign. So you take what happened here in America 4 years ago, factor in what is occurring now in Venezuela in 2024, and dare to think the way things could play out in America if we get a razor-thin election with results, or if the results take days to finalize. Election integrity. It's the essence of democracy. Without it, you don't have it. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in with your thoughts and reaction, you can certainly do so. 855-839-1210. On social media, 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get everybody's thoughts and reaction to that, as well as what happened yesterday on the Hill. A very explosive day with the FBI, the Secret Service, and what exactly occurred on July 13th as Donald Trump returns to Pennsylvania today. It's Kale and Company here on a Wednesday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
He was shot and he was on social media. Those details coming up. But Tony Bruno, I know you mentioned this in the last couple of days as we've been talking about all the big stories and all the big headlines. What's going on in Venezuela? Just want to get your thoughts on everything with election integrity, because you know that's coming. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Robin brought up some stuff and Linda Kearns called in. So, you know, that whole subject matter is right back in our wheelhouse once again.
Yeah, and oh, no. Sorry, I turned the mic off because Robin took the dog for a walk during the break. You're absolutely right. And you're seeing what's going on in Venezuela. And the amazing thing is when you talk about, you know, the Maduro regime and before him, the regimes there, it's interesting that Kamala Harris is the one who is not praising Maduro, but saying that the people in Venezuela now have the right to you know, express their concerns and go out and vote. Never denouncing Maduro, mm-hmm. who has been a dictator, a guy who is literally a dictator, a guy who suppressed his people, rigged the election, and then still when he lost, and not just lost, he got swamped in his own election in his own country, the people are rioting. But there, he has his own goons now going out. Does this remind you of something that happened in 2020 after, you know, people were protesting about the results of an election, and then you had militarized police killing an unarmed former woman, former veteran inside the Capitol building who had no weapon, didn't hurt anybody. So that's what you do where dictators can control and try to shut down opposition. But in Venezuela, the opposition is the people who want democracy, mm-hmm. not socialism. They had socialism. The people are sick of it. That's why they're crossing the border and coming to this country. Right. They don't want to be in Venezuela. They want to be here. Mm-hmm. So we're getting all the people from Venezuela who hate socialism coming to the United States, where the people in charge want socialism. That's the irony of this whole debacle. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any of the videos, but there are now videos coming out of the protests where they have been breaking into these large warehouses that were owned and operated by the Maduro regime and finding stockpiles of medicine, baby formula, all sorts of stuff that Maduro has been said that there's a shortage of and that there was nothing that they could do. And he's been stockpiling it this entire time.
Of course, mm-hmm. that's what dictators do.
Yep.
Now, obviously, Biden doesn't stockpile stuff, although he keeps going to Delaware. Nobody knows why. No, it's not a joke. He doesn't have a traveler's log, but he doesn't have to worry anymore. No, even his wife,
Dr.
Jill isn't campaigning anymore.
He's stockpiling waffle cones for his ice cream. That's all he's
doing. Well, I mean, come on.
If we want to go down the road of, wonder and question certain things, maybe he's not stockpiling things, but there certainly have been a lot of accidents at chicken farms, mm-hmm. at other places where suddenly, I mean, doesn't it seem really convenient that a lot of these our food supply places are going up in flames?
Yeah. It'd be really interesting too. You know, all these people that are leaving countries like this and fleeing socialism that come to America, and when the day comes when they can legally vote, who they're going to vote for? Because if you vote for somebody like Kamala Harris, who's running on basically a socialism platform, then you have to have your head examined. It's a lot like these people, Tony. When I was living in Nashville, and you've relocated many times as well, you see all these people in the last 4, 5, 6 years that leave New York and California, they relocate to Georgia or Florida or Tennessee or Austin, Texas or Nashville, and you name it, and then they still vote blue, and you say, well, why did you relocate? Oh, I couldn't take any more of the left-wing craziness. And then they come to the South, and they come to red regions of the country, and they still vote Democrat. It makes no sense.
Well, the frustrating thing is, I think that the government, the people that are spouting for socialism always seem to point out the socialist countries like the Netherlands and France and Germany, but they are not true socialist countries. That's the difference. They don't point out Venezuela or the old school Russian Russia or China. They don't point out those that have failed miserably. They point out countries that have supposedly succeeded, but they haven't been running as socialist countries. There's only certain factions that are socialized.
Right. If you guys want to jump in, your thoughts certainly welcomed. 855-839-1210. So let's get to Trump and let's get to everything that continues to develop. It seems like almost on an hour by hour basis for the last, honestly, 17, 18 days since Trump was shot in Butler, Pennsylvania. Explosive day yesterday on Capitol Hill, both with the FBI when it pertains to Donald Trump actually being shot, in addition to now the FBI and the Secret Service having to backpedal and realize and admit and say publicly that it appears that the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was in fact on social media, which we were told 2.5 weeks ago he was a rogue character. He had no online social media presence. We'll get to that in a second, but I want to play you this. This is K2, because late last week we heard Christopher Wray, and he was still floating out the notion that, well, not really 100%, I'm paraphrasing here, not 100% sure that Donald Trump was shot, could have been shrapnel, could have been glass. In fact, FBI deputy director says there was no doubt that Donald Trump was shot. K2, listen and watch this.
You are the deputy director of the FBI, is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
Is there any doubt in your mind or in the collective mind of the FBI that President Trump was shot in the ear by a bullet fired by the assassin Crooks?
Senator, there is absolutely no doubt in the FBI's mind former President Trump was hit with with a bullet and wounded in the ear. No doubt. There never has been.
Okay.
I've been part of this investigation since the very beginning, and that has never been raised.
You're sure?
Yes.
It wasn't a space laser.
No.
It wasn't a murder hornet.
Absolutely not.
It wasn't Sasquatch.
No, Senator.
Sasquatch.
It was a bullet.
It was a bullet, Senator.
100%. Fired by Crooks.
Yes, sir.
That hit President Trump in the ear and almost killed him.
100%, Senator.
Okay. Glad we cleared that up.
So that's FBI Deputy Director Paul Abbate getting grilled by my favorite Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. So, Tony Bruno, one of two things here. Either Christopher Wray is a complete imbecile, or he is absolutely perjuring himself on the stand, because he said last week that there was not confirmation and that there was still some reasonable doubt. Again, I'm paraphrasing here, as to whether or not Trump was hit by a bullet.
No, and Christopher Wray backtracked and then changed it. But again, people lying in front of Congress, does it matter anymore? I mean, unless you're like one of the Trump people, Navarro and those guys, and you refuse to appear when you're subpoenaed to appear before Congress, you go to jail. If you completely ignore subpoenas and don't show up before Congress or show up before Congress and lie, nothing happens to you. And so that's what's going on. And now the dynamic, as I watched all of these hearings and the comments yesterday, the assistant Secret Service director, he was already on the seat. He was second in command to the idiot woman that was in charge that had to resign in disgrace. And he was a little cocky. Now, he came out and, of course, said the right things. And it was bipartisan, because one thing about these committee hearings on a matter like this, there's no way a Democrat's going to get up there and start talking about, are we sure it was shrapnel? They all have to go after the Secret Service, because the Secret Service protects Democrats and Republicans.
Correct.
And people want answers on this most improbable, impossible, all the other stuff that we talk about. There's nothing comes in, not in the same universe as this assassination attempt, and just how completely out of control. And you got people in Pennsylvania. There's a guy that hasn't been named, who was apparently the guy leading the local call to direct people to do what they were doing, but they refused to give out his name yesterday. That was the biggest takeaway for me. Mm-hmm. Why was the guy who was the guy in command, who was there beforehand, and then led everybody else when they couldn't get a drone up? They didn't have Wi-Fi to put up a drone. That's what the Secret Service's acting director said yesterday. Why didn't you put up a drone when a 20-year-old punk was able to put up his drone and fly it? Yep. And they didn't have Wi-Fi. You can get a hotspot for $20. The Secret Service that has a $3 billion budget can't get Wi-Fi in Butler, Pennsylvania? Come on, man.
Very expensive. I mean, come on. What do you expect them to do? It's just they forgot the password. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, exactly. Secret Service 1, 2, 3, pound. My God. Yeah, it really is inconceivable that this is supposedly the best of the best, the most highly trained, the most advanced technology. And you're right. If you're offered a drone, use it. Utilize it. Why would you not? A local authorities late yesterday saying in Butler, PA, that had the Secret Service wanted one of the local people on the ground to be on that rooftop, they would have been on the rooftop. Why the Secret Service, when you're trained the way you are and you're out in the middle, with all due respect to a farm in Butler, PA, there's only so many objects you can climb up and lay on right. to attempt to assassinate somebody. And right in point blank range, a Tony Bruno 7-iron away from Donald Trump yeah. is a guy on a roof. And I don't want to hear any more about pitched versus slope. That thing was flat enough. Chris Christie mm-hmm. could have done jumping jacks on it. It was that safe, all right? And you couldn't get somebody up there, or you didn't think to put somebody up there. That's why people believe this was an inside job, because you can't defend not putting somebody up on that rooftop, Tony. You and I could have surveilled and scouted that area in 13 minutes on July
13th. And there is more video emerging every single day, from this. And they're still like, well, we don't know. And then the shooter, well, he was a right-wing guy. No, he was a left-wing guy. He was on Gab. And then the guy who runs Gab came out and said, I have the text messages. So now they're trying to blame it. Once again, remember when it first happened? Oh, he was a registered Republican.
Yeah.
And so now you got he was a Republican or was he a Democrat? Nobody cares what he was. It was an attempted assassin mm-hmm. and he got blown away and he never should have been able to get on that roof. These are facts that anybody who's ever watched Columbo can figure out. That this thing, and they're gonna drag this on and on and on, and it's not going to be resolved before the election.
Yeah.
Because they don't want it to be resolved before the election, because this is another example of why people don't trust the government.
Yep.
They don't trust the FBI. They don't trust the Secret Service. Is there any government agency that you trust? Maybe the Postal Service, because you know your local postal person, and they come by, and they're just doing their jobs.
Yeah, Will's a good guy.
I'm talking about the people in charge are the ones who are corrupt, and the ones that cannot be trusted.
Yep. Well, you said we're not going to get answers. Rand Paul wants answers by, I think, August 9th. He said yesterday that he's going to have all these people on the floor testifying under oath, and he'll be issuing subpoenas and everything to that nature.
I thought Josh Hawley did a great job yesterday. I thought I thought Ted Cruz did a good job yesterday, and I'm not in the I'm not usually in the business of supporting either of those two. But
how dare you?
The one thing Nick that you brought up was the fact that they said that he was online. There were some 700 or something posts from him.
Yeah.
The FBI deputy director, giving the timeline of the shooter's actions, said this yesterday. Phil, if you want to pull up cut 7, this is Paul Abate saying this. Cut 7, Phil, go.
We believe the shooter fired 8 rounds. While the investigation has not determined motive, the investigative team continues to review information from legal returns, including online and social media accounts. Something just very recently uncovered that I want to share is a social media account which is believed to be associated with the shooter in about the 2019-2020 timeframe. There were over 700 comments posted from this account. Some of these comments, if ultimately attributable to the shooter, appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes, to espouse political violence, and are described as extreme in nature. While the investigative team is still working to verify this account to determine if it did in fact belong to the shooter, We believe it important to share and note it today, particularly given the general absence of other information to date from social media and other sources of information that reflect on the shooter's potential motive and mindset. These are the facts, in part, that the investigation has revealed to date. While the shooter is dead, our work is very much ongoing and urgent.
There you have it. Phil, if you could throw up the graphic of the letter that was leaked out from the FBI, I just want to kind of expound upon what we just heard there, where the FBI is claiming now that Thomas Matthew Crooks had an unspecified social media account. It goes back, according to what I'm reading here, to 2019 and 2020, where at that point he would have been 14 and 15 years old. He apparently posted anti-immigrant as well as anti-Semitic content, and according to Gab, which I guess, and is Gab a social media platform? I've never heard
yes.
of it. Okay,
yeah, it was one of those that one of the 15 that popped up after, you know, after it was.
It was when Twitter was being locked down and everybody was being kicked off.
Gab Threads, and then there was another one that people all were running to because they had to get away from Twitter, and they never did. They always came back. So Gab was one of those, and it's still active, I think.
Okay, so they say in this post, it's not consistent with Gab's understanding of the shooter's motives based on the emergency disclosure request, which is an EDR, according to the source that received this letter from the FBI last week. Apparently, this guy had a Gab account under the name Epic Microwave, which based on the content of the EDR, the FBI appeared to think belongs to Thomas Crooks. Many particular regime media reporters have doubted Gab's claims that this request has existed. Normally, they don't confirm the existence or the content of law enforcement communications, but in this instance, they said they had to make an exception due to the overwhelming public interest in disclosure and transparency. And as a courtesy to law enforcement, you can see some of the redactions and the cover-ups there where they've blacked out some of the information. But again, another moment, Tony, where we were told, well, Trump wasn't shot. Well, actually, he was shot. This guy wasn't on social media. Actually, he is on social media. And I was thinking about this yesterday because I saw, again, I was watching a little bit of Fox, and they put up the picture of Crooks, and it's the same stock photo that they've been that everybody has been using. And I know we I don't know if you were with us. It might have been on a Wednesday, somewhere between when this happened and now, where there was a video of him, you know, that was labeled as he was being bullied in school, but it didn't really look like he was being bullied in. He was kind of laughing. I always find it interesting, and I'm not trying to be like a conspiracy theorist here, although the conspiracy theorists are hitting at a pretty damn good rate in the last 4.5 years. Why is it that we haven't really seen much more photo evidence of this kid? No other photos of him growing up or when he's older. The stock photo that we see looks like it's probably 4 or 5 years old. We just don't see any other information coming out from not just the family who asked for, you know, privacy at the time, which I totally understand, but it's almost like the guy is just a rogue character that some people doubt as to like whether or not he was really involved, if he's alive, if he exists. I hate to get down those rabbit holes, but like the lack of transparency here and the fact that all of these, you know, high up people in the FBI and Secret Service, they have had to backpedal and backtrack here. That's why people's minds start racing as to what the hell really happened on July
15th. Yeah, it's cut and dried. I mean, I don't care what the kid was posting. I mean, is that important? Yeah, but you know, they're still trying to figure out what he had on his phone with the social media. Does it matter? His intent was to assassinate former President Donald Trump.
Right.
You don't need the warrant and exiled Kraken on our stream there on our YouTube channel wanted to know, you know, about the Warren Commission. I was a young reporter when the Warren Commission was investigating the Kennedy assassination with Arlen Specter and many other Congress people. Here's the difference. The Warren Commission only had limited video, and it wasn't even video. It was grainy audio of President Kennedy's head getting blown up, you know, in the open vehicle he was in back when they were in open vehicles. And they were spending weeks and months and years breaking down the Zapruder film, which is all they had. We have more visual evidence of everything that happened than any case, anywhere, anytime. The Las Vegas shooter, the Pulse nightclub shooter. There is hours before, during, after. It's just unbelievable. And the FBI is slow walking this thing, trying to come up with a motive. His motive was he was on a roof and he had a gun and he tried to assassinate the former president of the United States. What are you talking about? We have to determine his motive. This wasn't a terrorist act. It was a guy trying to assassinate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You need to be an FBI director or a Secret Service agent to know that.
And you've seen so many, not conflicting, but both sidesism here. So he's, because nowadays Republicans are anti-immigrant and Democrats are anti-Semitic. And, well, he was a registered Republican, but he donated $15 to a progressive super PAC. So
none of this matters now. Yeah. None of that stuff matters.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Does it matter?
Well, some people want answers, but no, to your point, no, it doesn't, because the guy tried to kill Donald Trump, and now, according to the Secret Service, there's expected to be more attempts on his life between now and November 5th. So, if that's the case, what do they already know? Because if that's being leaked out there, obviously they've got some sort of information and have been tipped off about future threats. Let me grab, real quickly here, Tony, let me grab Mike in Flemington before we wrap up the hour. Mike, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, thanks for a great show again. Hey, just wanted to point out that the FBI statement about former President Trump possibly not being hit by a bullet was an obvious political statement meant to influence others and contribute to what I call the Demonon, as opposed to QAnon people. Under the Hatch Act, a person in the executive position, which the FBI is not allowed to engage in political activities, especially while in an official capacity. His statement, followed by a Newsweek article that parroted that, was an obvious political statement, much like the FBI agents who went to social media companies and said that the Hunter Biden laptop or something to that extent may be Russian disinformation. Those are Hatch Act violations. And until we start putting people up and prosecuting them for these things, it's going to continue. We might not be able to prove the prosecution, but just the Republicans putting that out there and doing it would send a message.
And to your point right here, I've got it in front of me. Hatch Act violations include using official authority to interfere with an election result, soliciting, accepting, or receiving political contributions, soliciting or discouraging political activity of persons before the employing agency, and running for public office in a partisan political election. You're right, because if you're just a casual fringe political observer, and all of a sudden you're going to determine your vote based on whether or not Trump was really shot or not. If Christopher Wray is sitting up there saying it looks like he might not have been shot, that could obviously impact your thought process going into making a decision. And Tony, I think you were going to mention something as well there.
Well, the bottom line is all of these things are just superfluous nonsense. We know the intent.
I like that
word. We know the kid's dead, so you can't find out any more about him, except they're going through his phones and they're dragging this thing on. Remember, the chick that got fired, what was her name again? Cheadle?
Kimberly
Not
Cheadle.
Not Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle would have been a better Secret Service director. I mean, he was in all those movies, great movies.
Don Lemon would have been better.
I'm exactly. Don Lemon, and you will respect me. You will watch me.
Don Knotts would have been better. Running the Secret Service.
But Don Adams.
Oh, Don Adams, he would have got the shoe phone on. They couldn't get a drone up, but Don Adams would have been able to get the shoe phone and connected all the people who were there, state, local, federal, worldwide people who were there. And the other thing that the FBI, the Secret Service director, acting director, who was number two in charge, he was talking when he was asked a question. I think it was Josh Hawley who asked him about, well, what about the manpower for the former president of the United States versus the sitting president?
Yeah, that was Ted
sitting
Cruz,
president has the nuclear codes.
Yes.
Joe Biden doesn't know where the nuclear codes are. Joe Biden doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
And again, I understand what he's saying. But again, this is you don't think Dr. Jill, who is not a presidential candidate, gets the same amount of Dr. Jill Biden and Donald Trump get the same amount of Secret Service protection? Or does she get more than Donald Trump? That's the questions are not, and I don't even care about that. Mm-hmm. I care about that they've dropped the ball and it's been dropped, and they're trying to blame the locals. The Secret Service is trying to pass the buck to the local people in Butler. And that's why the local people in Butler are speaking up, because they know that they're going to be made the scapegoats for the failure at the federal level.
Yep. 855-839-1210. And speaking of passing the buck and dishing out the blame, wait till you hear what a Secret Service counter sniper has said in an email. We'll get to that when we continue. Hour two of Kale and Company. Nick, Tony, Greg, Robin, back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.